that the monthly deduction was not a premium payment. Those are two totally different things. And in fact, if the monthly deduction were construed to be a premium payment, Section 22905 would not even apply, because it does not apply to policies based on the payment of monthly premiums. So what we have here is a flexible premium policy that did not require any premium due dates, and the district court, without citation to the policy whatsoever, found that there was a due date on December 12, 2010. I would also add that Conseco Life's position is consistent with the Louisiana Rules of Statutory Construction. Statute should not, under Louisiana law, cannot be interpreted in such a way as to produce absurd consequences. Here, with a flexible premium policy, the policyholder is in control of the cash value. The policyholder can pay premiums to increase the cash value, or the policyholder can withdraw funds from the policy or obtain a policy loan to decrease the cash value. So under the district court's holding, which would require insurers to provide the notice before the policy even enters the grace period, at least 15 days before, it would allow policyholders to simply wait until they're within the 15-day period before the monthly anniversary day, when the cash value amount is determined, and then take out a policy loan or withdraw funds. That would trigger the grace period, and it would be too late for the insurer to provide notice. Certainly, if it's impossible for an insurer to comply with the statute, that would represent an absurd consequence. In addition, a second point that I wanted to emphasize is that even if the court were to find that Conseco Life did not satisfy the notice requirements of the statute, the insured here did not pass away until August 15, 2012. Therefore, the one-year period plus the death benefit extension of 183 days would have already run. The district court found that the default date was December 12, 2010. And Conseco Life would contend that the default date was actually February 11, 2011. But if you affirm the district court's ruling, then the default date is December 12, 2010. 1 year is December 12, 2011. You add 183 days. You still don't get to August 15, 2012. After that one-year period, the policy is deemed to automatically expire under several cases that we've talked about. Johnson & Johnson argues that, well, because they called the company to talk to them about making a premium payment and allegedly offered to make a premium payment, that that would allow the policy to extend beyond the one-year period. That, frankly, is a matter of first impression. I'm not aware of a case that has directly confronted that issue.
Now, if they made an attempt to pay and it was turned down, is that a
issue
that would somehow cause the delay period, the year and the other period to not?
I would say no.
I mean, does that, if they tried at least to pay and you guys turned it down, is that?
I would say no, Your Honor, and the reason why is because nowhere in the statute does it require the insurer to pay a premium, to accept a premium. Nowhere, and so there's no language to that effect in the statute. So if we're applying the language of the statute as it is written, the policy automatically expires at the end of the first year, at the end of the one-year period. And so even if there had been an attempt to pay a premium during the one-year period, there's no requirement in the statute that the insurance company accept it. And so if that requirement needs to be added to the statute, I would assert that that is the role of the legislature to add that requirement. But I would also like to underscore in conclusion here, and I would like to reserve the balance for rebuttal, but in wrapping this up, I would like to underscore that the court need not even reach that issue, because under the plain language of the statute and the plain language of the policy, there was no requirement to pay a premium on or before December 12, 2010. To the contrary, the policy did not require a premium to be paid until the end of that grace period. And I would reserve, unless there are further questions, I would reserve the balance of my time.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mr. party.
May it please the court, Adam Cassie on behalf of the Appalee Johnson & Johnson Partnership. I would agree with opposing counsel that throughout this case, below and before this court, it's about one issue, and that is, can a grace notice sent after an insurance policy has lapsed for non-payment and informing the insured of how to cure the default strictly satisfy 22905's requirement for pre-premium due notice that provides them an opportunity to pay the premium when it becomes due? Opposing counsel has gone to great lengths in the briefs, and here today we look through of how the Idaho Supreme Court interprets certain terms, how the New York legislature has amended their statute, but they still haven't addressed the elephant in the room is, if the policy's already lapsed, how in the world can that notice possibly constitute pre-premium due notice? How can it possibly give the insured an opportunity to pay the premium when it becomes due if the policy's already lapsed? And Conseco has conceded that the policy lapsed on 12-12-2010, the date that the district court used for calculating notice.
I don't get that.
Judge King,
I don't see that the policy lapsed until the premium wasn't paid.
Your Honor, this is a point that Conseco has conceded that as of December 12, 2010, there was zero cash value in the policy. It was insufficient to provide coverage, and they conceded that point. Under the Louisiana insurance regulations, a lapse in a flexible premium life insurance policy constitutes the day that the policy has a zero net cash value. So when it gets to zero and can no longer sustain itself, that's considered the date of lapse. That's based on the insurance regulations, and Conseco conceded that point in their brief, that lapse did occur on December 12, 2010. Since the notice can't, by its definition, predate the lapse, Conseco has tried to push the date farther back. It can't back up its notice, so it's trying to move the operative date forward. And there's a couple of problems with that. Mainly, it uses legally incorrect definitions of several terms that the district court construed. What I would like to do, if it pleases the court, is first address the calculation of a due date in the context of a flexible premium policy, then address some of the incorrect use of the terms in Conseco's argument, and then hit on the 1-year extension or the continuation that Judge Prado asked about. Conseco's led us to believe that this flexible premium policy is this strange creature that Louisiana's existing statutes can't address. It even goes so far in its brief to say that there's no such thing as a premium due date for a flexible premium policy. We know that can't be correct because if there was not a premium due date, it would not be terminated for lack of payment of the premium and we wouldn't be here. What happens is, while there's not a calendar date circled, that every year on August 2nd, a premium has to be paid, the policy works as it only continues as long as it has funding. In our brief, we said it was akin to a car in its gas tank. In the owner's manual, there is no requirement that on Wednesday of every week you have to put gas in your car. It's not preset, but it's only going to run for as long as there's gas in the tank. And that's what happened here. On December 12, 2010, that's the day that the tank ran out of gas. And that's what 22905 does, is it's the low fuel, the warning light, 50 miles to empty, that comes on before that happens. Under Conseco's definition, the low fuel light does not come on until 25 days after the tank is on empty. That doesn't serve the purpose. So this idea that there's not a premium due date in a flexible premium policy is not true. It's just not set on a specific calendar date, but the policy will necessarily require a premium due date.
Well, ordinarily, the premium due date is not a matter of mystery for the policyholder or the insured. If there's anything, I mean, exclusions get fought over, coverage gets fought over. I mean, insurance policies are just rife with ambiguity. But more time than not, The amount of premium and when it's due is rarely a mystery item, you know, because that's what the person bargains for. You know, to buy a